This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We'll get to Will Anderson here in just a minute. You guys are sending in some really good reasons to hate Green Bay. I'm saving these for tomorrow when we do Five Reasons I Hate You. I'll read one of them because it's not going to wind up in the five reasons. I don't want to read text like this, okay? Green Bay is pleasant if you can get past the ugly broads. All right? I know you like using the word
what
broads.
What the hell is this?
Yeah,
What are we in the WWE? This is a classy joint.
This
here.
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
Stop bringing
yeah.
the classiness down of this joint, okay?
Tell you one thing about those broads. They have a good time.
They do. They yeah. do have a good time. They have a good
you
time.
Say what you want about, anything about them, but they have a good time.
They have a good time. Yeah. And I don't think that I've been up there a few times, man. Underrated, I think. A little underrated.
The Green Bay fan base is the least annoying of the huge national teams.
Yes.
The teams that have nationwide fan bases. The Packers, for whatever reason.
Put a pin in that one. I want to hit that later. That's a good one. I like that topic. That's good.
They're not as psychotic as some of the
they're
other ones.
They're not. Not even close. Yeah, they're not even close. We'll get to Will Anderson in a second, but we were talking about the Texans, and obviously big concern over the injuries right now. DeMeco is a reputed hard practicer. You know, he skews more towards the end that likes physicality in his practices. So that's always a question. Like, hey, how much is this is playing into the injury? They had a lot of injuries last year. That was a topic last year. You know, yeah. They were the most injured team in the league last year. So DeMeco, we played some audio from him on the coach's show in the previous segment where he's adapting to that. I thought this was cool. Like, I, as a regular Joe, Seth, I'm a simple man who just looks at it through the prism of a regular guy, a regular fan. And I say to myself, when teams are tackling poorly, how do they get better at it? And the Texans have been much better tackling this year. They were wretched at times last year. They were much better this year. I thought this was pretty cool. Like, this is a good answer from DeMeco yesterday at the press conference. Like, how do you work on tackling during the season when you're doing walkthroughs and you're not bringing guys to the ground?
To teach tackling in season, it's a mindset. It's always a mindset. Like, do you want to get the guy down or not? And you show up with the mindset that you want to get the guy down, you'll get him down. And then it comes to in practice, we're not physically tackling in practice, but it's about body positioning. Are you putting yourself in good body position, good posture? Are you taking the proper angles? Are you closing with the proper tracking angle inside out on guys? And is everybody running to the football in practice? That's how you work tackling in practice. And we have one day that we put the pads on, and every time we have the pads on, we want to make sure we're thudding and stopping the ball carrier in the hole. That's how you work your tackling in season when you can't be too physical. You're not going to the ground, but you can still get better at putting your body in the right spot and wrapping up.
To a simple man like me, that answer made sense. I'm like, okay. I feel better about things now.
Yeah, there's not they haven't tackled in practice in the NFL since like the 1970s probably.
Right.
So it's not like it's anything new. It's just that is when you're wearing pads more often, it's easier to coach up the thudding them up and having the proper. But even when teams wear pads, it varies widely from coaches to coaches how much they really zero in on the fundamentals. Because even in pads, guys will get lazy and kind of just lower a shoulder and you're like, yeah, I would have tackled him there instead of really squaring up or taking the right angle and all of that. So it's a matter of attention to detail. So right now, the Texans have the 13th most missed tackles in the NFL.
Okay.
Which isn't great, but last year they had the second most missed tackles in the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah, they've improved.
So they're in
part
the...
of it, though. I do think they've gotten sloppier. The first couple of weeks, they were really, really good. They had very few missed tackles.
Among the best in the league, yeah.
Yeah, and since then, it's gotten a little bit sloppier. 2 weeks ago versus the Bills, I thought it was really sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, they cleaned it up a little bit. But, it's something that this defense, this defense has played really well, but without necessarily really shining in any one particular area. They've just been really good at swarming to the ball, getting a good, not a record-breaking pass rush, but a really good and quality pass rush, and putting a lot of pressure on other teams. Like, they're leading the league in pressure rate. That's a little bit misleading at times. The tackling is the one where it's the least glamorous, but it yields the biggest dividend. So they need to continue to focus on this throughout the season. They can't regress to the sloppiness of last year.
Well, and they're playing a running back this week that'll make them pay. If they don't tackle, Josh Jacobs is really good at breaking tackles. And so it's got to be a focus this week, man. The Packers are a talented offensive football team.
They've got they're facing this Packers offense with possibly two backup linebackers.
Yeah.
You've got Danico Autry coming back as Mario Edwards leaves. They're different types of players. Danico Autry is a better overall football player, but Mario Edwards is built a little bit more like an actual defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they it'll be really interesting to see how much Danico Autry plays inside. I think that's mostly going to be on passing downs, and then the rest of the bunch of guys, this rotation at defensive tackle probably stays the same on rundowns.
Yeah, we'll hit Danico Autry. We'll hit that hard in the 7 o'clock hour at the top of the hour. We'll start to dig in hardcore on Green Bay. And yeah, Danico Autry coming back is big, man. It's something I'm very anxious to see. That is definitely, like, if we're looking at things to watch for in this game, Danico Autry and his return is a big one, because all sounds of it from both Caserio and from D'Amico are that he's ready to go. Like, there's, you know, he's in shape. Whatever injuries he may have been dealing with in training camp, those are done. Like, he's getting plugged in, and he's going to play on Sunday. So we'll see what that looks like. Will Anderson, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. This was the easiest one to predict out of the four that the Texans have won so far this year. Two for Kaimi, one for Joe Mixon, and now we got one on defense with Will Anderson, and he was really excited yesterday. He's really excited every day, if we're being honest. Here was Will Anderson yesterday on how the veterans, he's the young guy. That's probably the oldest room in the building of all the position groups. You got Danielle Hunter, who's pushing 30. You've got Mario Edwards Jr., 30. Danico Autry's coming back. He's 33. Foley Fatakasi's been around a while. That is an older room. Will is by far the youngest guy in that room. Here's Will on the vets helping him.
I just got to give another big shout out to my D-line, man. Like, they've been such a great help. Like, I was walking off the field with Danico today, man, and me and him was having some words, and I was telling him, like, I appreciate them so much, man, because they give me so much confidence. They help me. They build me up, man, and they don't even know how much I'm so grateful and thankful for them, that they're here and they're able to help me achieve my goals as well.
Yeah. That's got to be nice if you're an older player. Because as an older player, I don't know if it's the code in the NFL or not, but it feels like the good people who are players as they get older pour into the younger guys because they were poured into as a young guy. It's got to feel good pouring into a guy like Will Anderson, who, you know, is probably taking every bit of what you're giving him and applying it, you know?
Yeah, you know how it is when you're talking to young people.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're just like, man, am I getting through to this guy?
That's exactly
not
what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, young people out there, this is one thing. Do yourself a favor. When sometimes you might not realize it. Like, you might be really listening to somebody, but if you're not showing it in your facial expression, they don't have a clue whether they're getting through to you.
That's
or
right.
Not.
That's right.
High school football teams are the toughest because everybody's trying to be hard. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to look at you like, and you can't tell. Like, these guys are, I can't tell. What are they responding to me? Or are they angry at me? Are they tweeting? They're not on Twitter. Are they Instagramming or TikToking nasty things about me right now? I don't know.
Do
I don't
a
know.
TikTok about me after I walk out of here? Yeah. This guy.
This guy's TikToking me right now. I know.
I can feel it.
You can see it in his eyes.
This was interesting. I was very curious what the answer was going to be about this one, because I said this about Will Anderson's day on Sunday, is that he had a box score that looked a lot like what J.J. Watt used to do. 8 of this, 5 of these, 4 of those, 3 of these. He was asked about having a J.J. Watt type of day on Sunday.
I respect this game so much, and I look up to J.J., man. He's been a great, you know, role model in my life. He's been helping me, you know, keeping me encouraged and everything like that, man. And you just got to keep going. Can't get comfortable. And I think Coach Ryan, he always hit it on the head, man, just staying on edge. And that's for me and my mentality. That's how I always operate, man. It's like, yeah, that's good, but, like, what's next? What you going to do now? So it's just about just enjoying the process, man, loving this process, falling in love with this process, man, and keep growing, keep getting better each week. And that's just my biggest thing is how can I get 1% better each week and how can I stay consistent as long as possible until the end of the season.
He's encouraging you. Are you guys in communication?
He texts me. He's like, have a day, man. And he always texts me every time, you know, something good happens or if you see something, man. And like I said, he's been a great role model for me, man. He's been a great guy to have in my corner to help me.
Good answer, Will. Good
answer. So Will Anderson has J.J. Watt on his side, yep. And C.J. Stroud has Tom Brady in his personal group of advisors.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Good call.
I'll accept Tom Brady. For a while there, I was like, hey, C.J., don't take Tom Brady's calls. You can't trust him. Now he's the owner of the Raiders. You never know, man. Just be careful. But then I grudgingly said, like, you know what, C.J., that's all right. You can accept Tom Brady's calls.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
This is annoying because I have to, you know, CJ's got the restraining order on me and everything, so I have to kind of like send it through other channels.
I understand.
But he gets the message,
yeah,
I think,
probably. I understand. Yeah. Can Brady still call him, or is it tampering now? He's owner of the Raiders. Are they allowed to speak with each other on that level anymore?
You're allowed to have those conversations with coaches and everything.
Okay.
This comes up every now and then. But you're right. You know it. Now that he's an owner, the tampering... Yeah, he's got to be careful.
And Brady,
I don't think it's going to change the way he operates.
Brady
or anything,
does. But. He does like to straddle the line of the rule book, you know.
Oh, he likes to go have a lunch on a yacht in Miami with the Dolphins back in the day.
I didn't know what PSI was in a football.
I change my cell phone every 3 months. What?
Yeah.
What? No.
I destroy my cell phone every 3 months.
I always rent a helicopter and fly over a volcano and toss it into the magma every 3 months. That's what I do.
Does everybody else not do that?
Maybe I'm a little out of touch with the common man.
I just thought everybody did this. Okay, maybe not.
You know what, Sean? That's a great point, though. What if CJ loses one of his best resources, the mentor that is Tom Brady?
Yeah.
At the very least, he maybe can't, you know, kind of casually name drop Tom Brady every now and then.
That's right.
Remember last week when after the game last week when some Patriots reporter was like, CJ, I know you're not that old, but have you ever heard of Tom Brady? And did you ever think about maybe, you know, like trying to like take something from his game? And CJ's like, yeah, listen, we've got Brady and I are tight. What the hell are you talking about?
One of my favorite.
And then he did the thing from Laverne and Shirley.
Okay.
Where he tipped it.
The little gesture, yeah.
Who was that? Was it Squiggy that would do that?
I think Lenny or Squiggy, one of them, yeah.
They put their hand under their chin.
One would put the hand under the chin. The other one would bite their fist. I think it was Lenny did the hand under the chin, yeah. Kids, Laverne and Shirley was this show, ..
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Caserio, we had him on yesterday. As long as we're talking about Will Anderson, the video of Will Anderson getting the Player of the Week chain yesterday was tremendous. Will was so happy.
I bet he was.
He was so happy. The sense I get is I don't think Nick Caserio is a big fan of the turnover, or the not the turnover chain, the Player of the Week chain.
I lived in Providence and was actually, it was an old office building, two-story office building. They turned into a two-story apartment. And this was kind of the apartment where, like, the windows could go up and down. There weren't locks. So, like, if somebody wanted to jump in a window in the middle of the night, like, they could probably do that. So if I locked myself out of the house, like, that's what I lived in my first year. But I didn't care. Like, I drove 30 minutes each day from Providence to Foxborough, and I was immersed in something that I enjoyed doing. So I was probably paying my rent. Outside of that, look, I'm pretty low profile. I mean, I'm not a big car guy, not a big clothing guy, I'm not a big jewelry guy. I know that surprises, like, the entire city
Shocking,
of Houston right
yeah.
now. But, so...
You're not going to wear the Player of the Week chain around the locker room at any point this season?
Don't ask me about that, Sean. I don't think that's a good question that you should ask.
Okay. I probably should have chopped off the preamble about his old apartment for purposes of this cut. But, Nick, I don't think a big fan of the chain.
He said, don't ask me about that. Yeah. At first, I was like, what, Sean? Yeah, he's just saying he wouldn't personally wear it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it sounded like he didn't even want to bring up the top. What would he not like about the turnover chain?
I don't know.
What's wrong with fun and frivolity?
You know, the only thing, because I thought the same thing, Seth, especially because Nick is a big WWE guy. And that is like a version of a WWE thing. Like, that's a belt almost, right? And I thought maybe the one thing he doesn't like about it would be that it over accentuates individual accomplishment above the team, maybe. Right?
Yeah. That's where I wondered. I wondered if maybe it was.
Or maybe he just doesn't like how it looks.
Maybe he didn't like the idea of just external, extrinsic rewards.
Yeah.
They're always trying to tell you, like, hey, you got to be motivated by internal things, not these trinkets and money and all that stuff. So maybe that was it. Although, I mean, Belichick's yacht is called. What, seven rings or something?
Is it?
However many rings he has now. I think he adds the Giants rings in with it. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know.
At least seven then, yeah.
Seven rings, yeah. So Belichick doesn't shy away from trinkets.
No.
Well, of course, that's a team award. That would be the ring is a team award ultimately.
Yeah. Do you think that's what Belichick's thinking when he paints seven rings onto his boat? Like really highlighting the team here, you know? Glad I can highlight all the fellas here as he sails off in his big yacht.
He had all seven Super Bowl rings on when he met his new girlfriend on that flight. He's sitting next to her on that
and he's just casually like putting his hand on his face, you know?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just were you distracted by these many rings on my hand?
Did I knock your coffee over? Which ring hit your coffee right there?
These were when I exhibited the extreme dominance in the most manly of all sports, yes.
I'm mad at myself.
At least in America.
I'm mad at myself that I didn't separate Nick's apartment story from the chain, because that apartment story is excellent. Making $14,000. We'll have to repurpose that. We've got more Casario.
Well, he's talking about how much he loved, you're living in meager circumstances, but you just love what you're doing. I was watching some billionaire. I get about like one out of every five things that pops up on my social media these days is some billionaire giving advice. And claims to be a billionaire giving advice, usually. No, but it was interesting. This guy was a bona fide billionaire.
Okay.
He's talking about work-life balance and really it's an individual thing that ultimately for him it comes down to, okay, are you actually enjoying what you're doing?
Yeah.
All right, and some people work 9 hours a day and that's perfect for them. Other people can work 18 hours a day and that's perfect for them for their work-life balance.
Yes.
But as long as you're like really enjoying what you're doing. And also, I mean, how much do your kids hate you?
Yeah,
they're
going to
hate you a little bit. But like, all right, is this the appropriate level that my kids hate me right now, or have I gone a little too far?
They might like nice things. You know, that's the thing. All right, Payne and Pendergast, we'll get to headlines. We've got some Texans news that applies to Sunday's game injury report. We've got some baseball as well last night. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.